Chapter 15. Julia closed the study door behind her, looking round in sudden desperation. She couldn't let Greg go without at least trying to explain. Damn Grandpa for blabbing like that. When he was alive in the flesh, he would never have said anything to hurt her. He was walking down the stairs, head just visible, bobbing above the railing.
Greg, wait!
He turned round, paused. She ran along the landing, ankle-length skirt flapping round her legs. Standing in front of him, her resolution wavered. What did he actually think of her? There'd never been any thank-you card for the van of gear she'd sent to his home, but would someone like Greg even think about thank-you cards? Damn that bloody Swiss snob school. It had distorted her perspective on real life, as if anyone else ever bothered about Debrett's etiquette in this day and age, let alone treated it as a Bible. He was watching her with quizzical respect. But was it bought respect? Oh, hell! She searched his face for a hint of sympathy, any sign of that brilliant moment when they seemed to think as one.
They didn't alter me, you know.
There. She'd gone and said it. Betrayed her insecurities. Would he laugh? What didn't? Greg asked. She blinked. That wasn't the response she'd been expecting.
The BioWare nodes. People think they turn you into some kind of mental freak.
But it's just like having an encyclopedia on permanent call, that's all. I'm a total whiz at general knowledge questions. She flashed a bright, entreating smile.
Of all the people in the world, I'm the least likely to be prejudiced against you.
Oh, yeah.
She knew her cheeks would be reddening. God, how stupid. She was making a complete fool of herself. Why couldn't conversation flow from her lips? Cats never had the slightest trouble talking to men. No matter what she said, they'd smile and agree.
What's it like? I wanted a gland, but Grandpa said no.
I'm glad he did, Greg said gently. The price is far too high. Take my case. I have to steel myself against people, build a high wall to shut them out. Every mind is awash with fears and intolerance and fright, all the human failings. We school ourselves to hide them from showing in our voices and expressions, but to me it's an open book. I'd drown in it if I let my guard down. And there's the pain, too. Actual physical pain from the neurohormones. It can cripple me if I don't keep a firm control over the secretion levels. Commit Greg time, #3. Nobody else was ever this honest with her about themselves. It must mean he felt something, even if it was only a variant of parental concern.
Why don't you have it taken out if it's that bad?
I'm a psi junkie, Julia. I couldn't give up the gland any more than you could give up eyes. Once it's in, you're hooked. But if I was living my life again, I'd run a million miles rather than have a gland.
She nodded with earnest sympathy.
I didn't realize. I thought one might help me run Event Horizon, show me who was disloyal. I took the assessment tests and came out ESP positive. Grandpa was furious.
You'd be spreading yourself too thin. Run with what you've got, Julia. Event Horizon is going to demand every scrap of your attention. You can always hire specialists like me to combat specific problems.
But how do I know who to trust?
She whispered insistently. His fingers found her chin, tilting her head up.
That's everybody's problem, Julia, not just yours. It's an unending question. People change. Someone who you could entrust with the crown jewels one day will sell you out for a pound the next. You want my advice? Put your faith in Morgan Walshaw. Strange as it may sound, people like that need someone to work for. So long as you don't evolve into some kind of irresponsible playgirl, he'll remain loyal.
She pulled a face.
Morgan? God!
Just remember, loyalty doesn't mean slavish obedience. If he disagrees with you on some issue, he won't be doing it simply to spite you. Ask him to explain his reasons, and listen to the answer.
You're worse than Grandpa,
she moaned.
Life's a bitch. Then you die. No messing.
He grinned, and started down the stairs again. She walked in silence with him until they reached the hall. The air was cooler in the big vaulting chamber, its black and white marble tiles drawing away April's dry heat.
Greg, there's something else.
Hey, what am I? Your confessor?
No, this is about the Blitz.
She knew he'd changed, hardening somehow. It was like she'd spoken a code word, switching his mind from levity to total attention. She started to tell him about Kendrick, the buyout, her threat, speaking rationally, without rancor, and doing it that way made her mortified by how petty she sounded. What was it Kendrick had said? Schoolgirl temper tantrum. "I couldn't let him go unpunished," she said. "He set out to destroy everything Grandpa spent 50 years of his life building, not to mention my future." Greg looked troubled, staring at one of the Turner landscapes without seeing it. "Do you think I was right?" she asked, nervously.
"Yeah, probably. I'd have done the same, I think."
"So the Blitz might have been Kendrick's vendetta against Grandpa and me? Nothing to do with the Giga Conductor?"
"Could be. But I think it's reasonable to assume Kendrick is involved up to his neck. He's certainly my first choice. This possible mole implicates him directly."
"You keep calling him possible?"
"Yeah. It's almost too easy to write everything off onto one master spy. But the evidence is pretty strong. Who knows? And now I think about it, this whole Giga Conductor thing adds a new dimension to the Meemog spoiler operation. Kendrick was more than likely after the patent the whole while. That was the asset he really wanted to strip."
"That's what I thought. But I couldn't tell you at the time. Sorry."
"No problem. I didn't need to know. Tell me, exactly when did Dr. Renasfari crack the Giga Conductor?"
10th of November."
She didn't have to query the nodes. The date was ingrained. The last time she'd seen Grandpa really happy. He sat slowly on an old monk's bench, thinking hard. She hovered, agitated, wanting to know what he was mulling over, unwilling to interrupt. The hall's silence amplified every sound as she fidgeted.
"Halfway through the Meemog spoiler," Greg mused. "So it had already been working for a few months. The thing is, if the mole or whoever had already breached the security cordon around Renasfari, then it's odds on that it was Kendrick, or Kendrick got word of it. Pirate data traffic is his speciality, after all. Tell me, would you have known in advance that Renasfari was going to crack the Giga Conductor? What I mean is, was the breakthrough sudden?"
"Not really. Renasfari has been working on the project for a decade. He was confident of a positive result for almost a year beforehand. Then he produced a cryogenic Giga Conductor last May. A room-temperature version was only a matter of time after that. A lightware cruncher problem, solving the chemical makeup, rather than any revelation in fundamental physics."
"Yeah, I figured something along those lines. You see, 10 years is a hell of a long time to keep something hushed up. If the mole informed Kendrick about the cryogenic prototype, then he would have had time to organize the Meemog crystal spoiler. The dates certainly fit."
"But you don't think so?"
"Not sure."
"Why?"
"If Kendrick knew about the Giga Conductor, why did he authorize your buyout of the Di Girolamo house?"
"I told you. I blackmailed him."
"A couple of billion euro francs each year. That's what your grandfather said the Giga Conductor royalty license would bring in. Is that right?"
"Yeah. In fact, it's a conservative estimate."
"So answer me this. With an 8% stake in Event Horizon, which you could never legally make him give up, why should Kendrick worry about his family house being dragged through the mud? In fact, you would have looked pretty bloody silly if he hadn't knuckled under, exposing one of your own financial backers as a shark, then still having to cut them in on a share of your Giga Conductor profits."
The nodes turned the problem into neat packages of equations for her. Greg and the hall slipped away as she pushed them through a logic matrix. They began to develop a life of their own, the channels unable to confine them, twisting out of alignment. The instability began to absorb more and more of the node's processing power. She scrambled to maintain cohesion, loosening the parameters, adding additional channels. But her mind originated nothing ingenious enough to halt the imminent collapse. She observed helplessly as the channels wound in on themselves, constricting in ever tighter curves, sealing the data packages in closed loops. The BioWare-generated edifice crumpled beyond salvation. Her imagination invested the scene with sound. From a vast distance she could hear a cathedral of glass slowly toppling over.
"Kendrick couldn't have known about the Giga Conductor," she said finally.
"You reckon?"
"Yeah. No, not really. It's a paradox, you see. He must have known, yet he couldn't have."
"That's the way I see it."
He seemed ridiculously cheerful.
"Know what we're going to do about it, Julia?"
What?
Put Kendrick at the top of the suspect list, then forget about him. Concentrate on tracking down the source of the leaks. When I've done that, I'll see where they lead. Then we might begin to understand the game he's playing.
She wasn't certain any more. Problems should be logical, solutions readily available. The pride she'd possessed in her own ability was dented. The nodes had always been a bulwark in her defense against other people, elevating her soul. No matter appearances and social awkwardness, she knew she was superior. Now this. Unable to provide her with an answer for the first time. And it was an answer which was utterly critical. But Greg didn't seem unduly bothered, which gave her a certain degree of confidence. The guilt that this might have been all her fault was dissipating. What more had she been expecting from him? He rose from the black polished bench.
Couple of days, week at the most, and it'll be all over, no messing. You can look back and laugh.
Thank you, Greg.
You haven't seen the bill yet. Walk me to the car. I might get lost otherwise. Normally when I'm in a building this size, there are hordes of other people queuing to catch their trains.
She laughed. A joke. He was joking with her. Then her father came into the hall, and the sudden bud of joy was crushed as though it had never been. Dylan Evans was wearing jeans and a baggy brown sweater, which was fraying at the end of the sleeves. He was walking with a drunkard's hesitancy, taking care that his feet only trod on the black tiles.
"Hello, Daddy," Julia said quietly.
He nodded absently at her, and looked Greg up and down with bleary eyes. Julia felt like weeping. It was bad enough witnessing her father's state in private. Having it exposed like this only exacerbated the pain. She watched in dismay as he straightened up ponderously.
"Bit old for her, aren't you?"
"Daddy, don't, please."
Her voice had become high, strained. She caught Greg's eye, a tiny motion of her head telling him to say nothing, please. He inclined his head discreetly, thank God. Dylan grunted roughly.
"Out of the way. Don't embarrass us. Keep out of sight. Keep your mouth shut. Never know what might come out. Want me to shut up, Julie, is that it? Want your father to keep his dirty mouth closed? Afraid of what the old fool will say? I'm only looking after your welfare. I've got a right to meet my little girl's men friends."
"Greg is not a boyfriend, Daddy. He's someone who works for us."
"Work, eh?"
A crafty expression twisted his vacant face.
"Been up to see the old bastard, have you?"
"What?"
Julia blurted, alarmed.
"The old bastard. Up there in the study."
"Grandpa's dead, Daddy.
You watched the funeral on the channel." She enunciated with slow deliberation, as though she was explaining a particularly difficult fact to a small child.
"Oh, Julie, Julie. How you hate me. A disgrace, a failure as a father, beneath contempt. Written off. Well, I'm an Evans, too, don't forget. A mighty Evans. I see things, I listen to what's going on, I know."
He started up the stairs, clinging tightly to the banister rail. His foot slipped, nearly sending him tumbling. He looked round at her mute face staring up at him.
"I could have done it. If he'd given me the chance, I could have run the company. Bastard never gave me the chance. He did this to me, his own son. Not you, though, Julie. Everybody loves you. He does. I do. Everybody does."
The words spluttered into incoherence. He glanced round nervously, suddenly confused as to where he was, what he'd been saying. His hand pulled hard at the banister, starting himself off on the climb again. He began muttering fractured words as he went. Julia buried her face in her hands. After a while, she felt Greg's arm round her shoulder, misery compounded as she found she was quivering silently.
"Sorry,"
she mumbled, lowering her hands to wipe at her eyes, absolutely refusing to cry. Then the implications of what her father had said penetrated.
"Oh, God, do you think he was the one?"
"Not deliberately, if that's what you mean," said Greg. "Maybe he let something slip. But it wouldn't do any good asking him. I doubt he'd remember, and I couldn't tell whether or not he was telling the truth."
She considered that. If Greg couldn't make sense of her father with his ability,
His mind has gone, hasn't it? I mean really gone, destroyed.
Julia. He held her firmly, a hand on each shoulder. Isn't it about time you booked him into a clinic?
He's my father, she insisted plaintively. He needs me.
He's hurting you, Julia. Far too much. You can't hide that from me, remember? A clinic will care for him properly. You can visit. Hell, you can afford to build a clinic. Put it in a house like this one. He won't even realize the difference.
She studied something away to the side of his head, swallowing hard.
Maybe, she whispered.
You should get out,
he expanded blithely, changing tone, breaking the mood.
A girl like you ought to be beating off the boys with a stick. Stay up till the wee hours at disreputable parties, that sort of thing. Do you the world a good. Willem is grand to look at, but it isn't exactly jumping and jiving now, is it?
No, she smiled meekly. I'm going away next weekend, actually. A book launch.
A what?
A book launch. It's a big PR event. Lasts for 2 days. Truly swish. Naturally, the Evans heir was invited.
Good. It's a start. Now what about a boy?
I know someone, she said defensively.
And the thought lit that idyllic warming core of delight. They walked out into the furnace heat of a cloudless day. The sun's glare yellowed half of the sky.
Goodbye, Greg, and thanks again.
She stood very close as he blipped the duo's lock. Would he kiss her? He tugged the duo's door open and smiled affectionately, like a doting uncle.
Anytime.
Oh, well.
She waved at the car until the curve of the drive took it from view. End Greg time, #3. She'd have to edit her father out, though.